Good morning, everyone, and welcome again out into the Australian bush on a very cool morning. Recently, I've been thinking about our culture, and there's something about the culture that really troubles me. If you look closely all around, there are hurting people. And I'm not talking about just hurting people, but people who have broken lives. They're broken completely. Their lives have been destroyed. Now, I know we don't like to go there. We put that in the too hard basket and leave that alone. But as Christians, we can't do that. We have to go there because God is concerned about those people, so we should be concerned about those people. Well, let's look back at these broken people. Maybe they're broken because of something completely out of their control. There's many of those. But maybe there's some broken people that's broken because of their actions. They did something that caused them to be isolated from their family, or let's just say it, kicked out from their families. And even their culture, in many cases, has turned their back on them. Now let me ask, are they any less human just because they've messed their lives up? Oh, and God forbid, a lot of churches would even turn their back on these people. How sad. Unfortunately, in many cases, all that's left for these poor people who have messed up their lives is to bury their sorrows in a bottle or get lost in some wild, illicit drug. Their life seems hopeless. And they ask the question, does anyone care? Well, the story that we're about to read in the Bible answers that question. So go with me over to John chapter 4, and let's look at something that happened in the life of Jesus. Father, help us to look at this important topic. This is so important. It could change our lives. It could change our church. Help us to see it and understand what you want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's go to verses 1 through 4. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee, and he had to travel through Samaria. Well, the Pharisees learned that Jesus and his team were becoming successful, and many of them were not happy about it. Jesus knew the time wasn't right, so he moved on and went back to Galilee. But here's a question. Look closely at verse number 4. He had to travel through Samaria. Why? Well, it's true that it's a much shorter distance to go to Galilee through Samaria, but most Jews just couldn't bring themselves to go through Samaria. They go around the long way. But if you look closer into the Bible, it is saying that it was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. Why was it so necessary that he go that way? Well, hold that thought. Verse 4 and 5. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. Now get this. Jesus is the Son of God. He calmed storms. He turned a few fish and pieces of bread into enough to feed thousands of people. And he is worn out and he sits down. What's going on? Well, Jesus is indeed God in flesh, but he is just as human as we are. He feels what we feel. He gets puffed, just like we get puffed. So he sits down on the edge of a well and rests. Now, go with me over to verse number 7. A woman of Samaria came to drink, to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Isn't it traditional that the ladies would come in the early parts of the day when it's nice and cool to get water? But she's coming in the middle of the day at noon. What's going on? Could it be something sinister is happening? Well, let's go on. The next verse tells us why this conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is such a big deal. Verse number 9, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" She asked him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Why did the Jews hate the Samaritans so much? Well, the truth is, the Jews hated the Samaritans worse than they hated even the pagans. Question, do you see a problem with what I've just said? I hope you do. Look at the word hate. Just think about that. So why did the Jews hate the Samaritans? Well, in the mind of the Jews, the Samaritans were cultural and religious half-breeds. They had their own religion. They had their own place of worship. And they even argued with the Jews on the appropriate place to worship. And the Jews hated them for that. Does that sound familiar? Ouch. Verse number 10. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him and he would give you living water." Now look, Jesus presents to her an obscure question that she just would not understand. Why did he do that? Well, I believe he was engaging her mind. He's trying to get her to think. He didn't apologize for the Jews' actions, and he didn't tell her she was going to hell if she didn't follow him. Well, he challenged her to think. Now, verses 11 and 12. "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep, so where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Well, she's thinking and she's asking questions. Jesus continues, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life." Jesus challenges her, and she accepts the challenge. Verse 15, "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." Yay, she's ready to follow Jesus. Hold on. Verse 16 through 18. "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "Well, I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Oh my. The woman has something that needs to be dealt with. And Jesus went right to the heart of her pain. Jesus needed the woman to take ownership for her life. That's called confession. That's called agreeing. He needed for her to take ownership of her life. But now, perhaps we know now why this lady was coming in the middle of the day, or rather in the morning, with the rest of the ladies. I don't think the rest of the ladies wanted to be anywhere around this woman, and you can understand why. So her actions caused her to be isolated and rejected by her community, by her culture, and her belief caused her to be rejected by the Jews. She is a social and religious outcast. Remember, I said at first that there are many who live around us whose lives have been broken because of their own actions, and they're living in isolation. Well, there's something that was true then that is true now. Remember the phrase, it was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria? Well, the woman was an outcast, but Jesus made a specific point to meet with her and connect with her. Now, here's a question to think about. Who is going to meet and connect with the broken in our culture who are broken because they have messed their lives up? Verse number 19. So, sir, the woman replied, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus had engaged her life, but she tries to avoid the issue by arguing religion. Jesus responds, verse 21. Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and it is now, here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Let me explain. Where to worship is no longer important, but what is important, that people who worship will worship from the heart, and they will worship in truth. And we all know where to find truth, right? Well, verse number 25, the woman diverts again. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus says something that is amazing to me. Remember, this woman is a social and religious outcast. She is a hated Samaritan. But Jesus says in verse 26, I, the one speaking to you, am He. Jesus reveals a truth to her that any good Jew could only dream about. The fact that He is the Messiah that's coming. He's here. He's there. Right now. How's that for reaching out to the lost, broken, and hurting? So what happens when someone finally sees Jesus? Well, we'll talk about that in 2 weeks after Mother's Day. But for now, listen, it doesn't matter how horribly you have messed up your life. Jesus has His eye on you, and He wants you to be part of His family because He loves you. Now for our church members. What will we do when God starts bringing lost, broken, and hurting people into our church? What will you do if you begin to, God opens your eyes and you begin to see people who are broken and hurting that you can connect with? What are you going to do? Well, will we accept them? Is there a spot for them in our fellowship? A lot of churches don't want somebody like that to come in and mess up their social club. But what will we do? Will we accept those who have been broken and have messed up their lives? It's a big question. But right now, in closing, I want to play for you another hard-hitting and raw song by Zach Williams that gives us some insight into what God thinks of broken people. Listen, God loves broken people. He loves them so dearly that He sent His Son to die for them. Our question today is, do we love broken people enough to reach out to them and to love them? Father, help us to grasp this. This could change everything. Lord, use us to reach broken people. In Jesus' name, amen.